Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Comic Book Nation, the only show that does it all for geek culture and the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and today I'm here with my co-host Matthew Aguilar and Connor Casey, and we are live reacting to the first trailer for Star Wars, The Acolyte. So, fellas, thank you for hopping on this morning and getting into this. One thing, you know, we've been doing this show for a long time, and one of the first things that we got to do as like a major media event when we started was Star Wars, The High Republic. The line of comics and novels that take us kind of 200 years before the Skywalker saga, when the Jedi Order is thick, the Republic is expanding into the Outer Rims, and this pivotal point in history. And now we have The Acolyte, which is a show that will be kind of set 100 years before the Skywalker saga, and kind of detail for us the period that kind of begins the end of the High Republic. And if you've seen the marketing for this, we just got a poster before this trailer that was pretty ominous and excellent. I believe we have as our thumbnail image for this episode. But this is going to be something about, you know, something we've written about and kind of talked about since the High Republic began, which is, while this is a great thing to explore, the time when the Jedi Order was really kind of popping off and at full strength, it is a story that we inevitably know has to lead into this period of darkness and the Skywalker saga, which is also the fall of the Jedi. So this looks like, so far to me from this trailer, my initial reaction is, hell yeah, like, here we go. Like, this is an appropriate kind of, for a lot of people, it'll be an introduction to the High Republic. Let's be honest, there's not everybody has jumped into these novels and comics. So they'll get a taste of that. And it's kind of a nice strategic move, because if they want to know more and get into the more, and like, why are there so many Jedi and all these colors? Like, there's a whole line of things for them, but you don't have to read all that to be able to enjoy this series and to know that it's a bridge piece to the things that we know are coming afterwards. I think that the marketing for this has been spot on. The poster is ominous and pretty already kind of gets you hooked. And this trailer did just enough. You see enough kind of the weird stuff, enough of the stuff that kind of hints at the larger story of the High Republic and stuff, and without bogging it down, but you get the basic kind of idea that there's a Jedi, they're searching for somebody who's killing Jedi, and this is going to lead us to a Sith Lord. And I think that's exciting enough for just the mainstream things. But I bring you guys on as my control, as the more normative Star Wars fans out there who like the more mainstream things. So enough of my yapping, but what did you guys think? Let's throw it to Connor Casey. I'm always interested to hear your Star Wars takes.
You got it. Well, I did not. I've read none of the High Republic stuff, and I'll just start off with that. But I get where this fits on the timeline of this is, I think, 100 years before Phantom Menace. So I'm not expecting to see certain people appear, but I get how the sequence of events here have to eventually lead to what we see later down the road. That being said, this trailer actually kind of gave me the vibes of what if we tried Attack of the Clones again, but good this time. The Jedi are basically acting as investigative space cops. There's a mystery going on behind the scenes. We're in these big cities like Coruscant. There's a ton of Jedi, and obviously a lot of them have to start dropping at some point. I was won over. This thing rocks. I thought this looked really cool.
Yeah, it's a one thing I will note is a shame we don't have anybody who got to go to like the early media shows and saw this trailer. So we are live reacting, and it's still coming in. We're still gathering the info about how much does this trailer match what was shown at like CinemaCon or wherever it was shown. But I can look that up while Matt tells us how he feels.
Yeah, I thought I saw some reactions about like Celebration, how it's a lot of the same footage that was shown there. Just I think it was Rob Keyes actually that popped up and said it was like extended scenes.
Robbie!
But it was mostly the same stuff. But it was mostly the same kind of footage. I've seen some things on social that have been like, I don't know, that like it's like we were lacking good Star Wars content. I don't know. It's weird. Like I was hyped already coming in this because I didn't really know what to expect. So I'm in. Like this was fantastic. I mean, number one, okay, you start off with like tiny little adorable creatures. That's always gonna appeal to me. It just will. But you know, once you start getting to the, you know, kind of the really like interesting, unique martial arts that are kind of right smack in the middle of it, and then you start jumping into, you know, and I think the poster was so indicative of this. I mean, I thought they nailed it with that poster, like giving this just like really almost, you know, creepy vibe to everything. Like there's just this real, there's a tension that isn't always present. In Star Wars stuff. So I thought that was fantastic. And this trailer mirrors that in a huge way, especially as you build towards the end. You know, I didn't really know what to expect with this. So I'm hook, line, sinker. This looks fantastic. I'm very much excited. So far for me, the Star Wars Disney side of things, as far as like the Disney Plus stuff, hasn't really missed for me. So I'm in.
Well, Matt, part of why there's tension is anything pre-episode 4 has an underlying level of like prequelitis where certain people have to be alive and certain people don't when we get to the canon event, the big movie canon events. And in this, everyone's expendable. And that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. I like that. I like the comics too. I mean, I haven't dove as far into them as Kofi, because Kofi's continued to read stuff. I've like fallen off in places. So I haven't taken in everything, but the stuff I've read, I enjoyed. And that was part of what I loved about it, was that it had all these new characters and all these new relationships. And it wasn't just the same Skywalker, you know, stuff over and over and over again. That does get old for me from time to time. But you know, even despite that though, I really have enjoyed what the Star Wars Disney Plus stuff has been. So, I mean, this is awesome though. I love playing in a new toy box.
Yeah. Now I don't want to nerd out too hard, but you know, I've done a ton of reading of this High Republic stuff. because like I said, we started out the show and you know, I love Star Wars, and this was a good kind of interesting thing to jump into. So they threw me in there and they had me kind of do all this. But, you know, we are in phase three of it. And so they've kind of done it just like Star Wars does. So we got the High Republic, and this initial story was about them settling in the Outer Rim and meeting these kind of pirates called the Nihil, and them going to war with them. Then phase two was a prequel, which jumped back, like, I think, like 50 to 100 years before that, and kind of told you the backstory of where the Nihil come from and their leader, Markion Roe, his family being this line of people who went to war with the Jedi over many generations. And they found these beasts called the Nameless that eat Force Eaters and do all this stuff. And now we're in phase three, which is a sequel to part for where we started. And, you know, the Jedi are down bad. Their beacon has fallen. A bunch of them have died. Like, main characters have been either eaten by these beasts or died fighting the pirates. And the Nihil have cut off a span of space for themselves called the Occlusion Zone, which showed up in Ahsoka. That was a part of space they had to travel through. And the Jedi are trying to infiltrate and get them out of there. So we don't. So what I'm trying to say, and I'm trying not to get so Star Wars heady that everybody's just like, shut up. But the prequel section kind of began to detail the larger idea of there being other factions out there. There's a whole coalescence of the Force or something. There's a group of different Force users. So like the Jedi are just one set of Force users. And then there's a bunch of other ones that get like kind of manipulated for war. There's the Path of the Open Hand, which were this religious order of mostly women that believe like no one should use the Force, that in using the Force, you're abusing it no matter what. And they tried to take out the Jedi and do all that. And so they're, and how all of that ties back to like the Night Sisters and all of that, and all these different kind of ways we're expanding the idea of Force usage in Star Wars, is, it gets pretty deep. And I'm just so curious, because we obviously see like Jodie Turner Smith is in this from Queen and Slim and a bunch of other stuff. And, you know, now we have this kind of weird, you know, circular pathway insignia on their heads, and they look like a religious order too. So is this tied to the Path of the Open Hand? Is this like how they became the Night Sisters? Like, all of this stuff is on the table.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, let's talk about the more exciting stuff that mainstream heads can get around. We got a Sith at the end with a red lightsaber. Just all the red lightsaber. Who's the red lightsaber? That's a big question.
What's with the Brooklyn accent?
That's just what happens. I'm from the East Coast. I go back sometimes. What's with the red lightsaber?
Well, I'm not sure who the Sith is, but I'm going to take a bet here and say Carrie Ann Moss does not make it past the first episode. Because we only see her in the scenes where she's getting attacked. And I checked the casting list, and she's weirdly far down on it.
And she's just listed as a Jedi. But, that's some Trinity Matrix stuff, because obviously, let's just talk about what we're seeing with this show, right? So this is very much kind of obviously Eastern influenced, right? Like probably, Star Wars always has been. But this is a martial arts kind of mystery. There's obviously going to be some scenes where, they've heard our criticisms of these Disney Plus series, and they were like, we got to give you some actual action in this, which this has the highest potential to do, right? This is when the Jedi Order is thick with people. And, as kind of showrunner Leslie Headland has pointed out, this is when the Sith are this is an underdog story, really. This is a bad guy underdog story. This is how do the Sith in the time when the Jedi are everywhere and they are nowhere kind of make a comeback. And we do know they come back. There's been a lot of theory about, we're talking about people who could show up, right? Have you guys heard the legend of Darth Plagueis the Wise? Have I ever told you about this?
I thought not. It's a Sith legend.
Yeah. And so, there are kind of, there have been rumors that this could be, related to, obviously, there's only the Order of Two. So how far are we removed from Palpatine, right? And from the Palpatine kind of debut? And is this whole thing kind of either setting up his master or his master's master, but somewhere along that line, you know what I'm saying?
I wonder if there's hesitation to go the Palpatine route because of how poorly Episode 9 was received.
Oh, no, this doesn't have to be him, but there's a lot of people, because Darth Plagueis is a person who is right. Like Broly, right, to Dragon right. Ball. It's somebody who's not really in the canon at all, except for that one monologue that everybody kind of got obsessed over. But it was obviously a story about, and he was called the Wise, you know what I mean? So it was, his whole thing wasn't that he was like a fearsome warrior. It was that he was crafty and smart and was able to help the Sith kind of climb back. So this could be another kind of key person that would be dropped in, because his whole thing was extending his lifetime, right? Like he was the one who like mastered midichlorians and did that. And so we could be getting this all from this. Other people who are definitely alive in this time period are Yoda and Yaddle. Master Yaddle are both alive. They're both characters in this series. So there is going to be some cameo stuff in here. But for the most part, it should be pretty new, which I think we're all at a point where the less we have of those cameo-itis moments, the better. Like, I think we're all kind of getting thirsty to get into some truly new Star Wars territory. I could be wrong. I mean, it's crazy out here, but I could be wrong. But Matt always has the look like he's ready to ditch the helmets he knows for the helmets he does not yet know. And so he wants some new Star Wars content. But how did you feel? I mean, I know the big other talking point that's going to come up. So let's just get into it now. The only thing that gave me kind of a little bit of hesitancy about this was this, while there's some beautiful scenes in here, like we just saw the young girl running through the burning woods and all of that. And there are some scenes that look definitely like they were shot on location. There is still some soundstagey, green screeny thing, like when the Jedi Master's talking to the younglings and all of that. And I hope that at least this series blends a little bit more of what we learned from Andor about using like practical shooting locations and sets and things like that to make this feel more like that and less like an Obi-Wan. And that's, you know what? It's been long enough. I don't care. Obi-Wan was mid. It was okay. But episode two of Obi-Wan is the thing I hold up and I'm like, never again. Don't do this. Like, so I hope that the production values really do justify, because, and I hope it's not uneven. I hope it's not like some things are like, oh man, that was an epic, awesome martial arts battle shot outside in this awesome set location they scouted and you know, shot in. Then it's like, oh, then we cut to a scene that's obviously a bunch of kids on a soundstage. And it's like, oh. So that's my only worry right there.
Damon Gray, don't be booing Kofi in the comments. He's right. The show was mid. It's okay to admit it. It can't hurt you anymore.
Wow.
And yes, and oh my God. And yes, to people throwing shade in the comments, we've had a lot of commenters. Yeah, the people are just hung up on, yes, Leslie Headland used to work for Harvey Weinstein, but like, guys, I don't know if we're going to start a war about, I don't even want to get into this, but if anything, if a lady sneezes and we're going to start a war about it, like, do we want to run down the list of who's worked for who in Hollywood? That's not a reason to start a flame war. Everybody chill. But this is Star Wars, so you know it's going to happen. But I think the ending alone, just seeing a Sith Lord blow back a bunch of Jedi after kind of cutting down a bunch of trees is going to be enough. And it's going to be enough. I think people are going to be at least hooked back in to something Star Wars related. And this time, unlike, you know, Andor or Ahsoka, you got a bunch of shiny swords everywhere. So everybody can be happy.
You started a fire in the comments.
About what?
You guys started a whole, for the Obi-Wan shade. Man, you guys like threw a grenade. Even Rich.
Producer Rich.
In the mix there. You drew Rich. By the way, there's actually too many for me to look through, but I will say that like I really enjoyed Obi-Wan. That was a show.
Episode five, amazing.
They were very good, but your statement was the show is mid. The show is mid, and that's an opinion.
Are low.
Yes, I don't agree. I don't think it was mid. I don't think it was me. And okay. I didn't care about that show at all coming in. I thought that show didn't need to exist. So the fact that it brought me around so much, that's more than enough for that. But yeah, it was interesting that of all the grenades, it's always the grenades we don't expect. And that is the one that set the
We're going to start calling them landmines because it's more like landmines. Like you don't know you're stepping on it. And then you're like, what's that? And somebody's like, it's about buddy. And you're like, what? Okay, guys. I mean, if it's not mid, I have a comment thread that's just like, it's hot. It was not mid. It was hot trash from start to finish. And then other ones that are like,
it's good. Yeah, that's great. Mid.
So I guess that does average out to mid, guys. I don't
know. I hate mid as a term.
Blame MJF. He made the sound bite go viral.
I can't stand that term.
I can't control what the kids are saying on my lawn. And I just know they're there. You know what I mean? But,
okay, so let's try another grenade here. I see a lot of younglings chilling out at the start of this trailer. Younglings in this time period don't tend to stay alive for long. So how many of these kids are dying?
None. Wow. I think you got to remember the order didn't fall overnight. Like the Sith come back, but then they go underground because Palpatine becomes a senator and nobody knows Sith Lords are still around. So
right.
This is going to be a story about how the Jedi realize, oh man, the Sith are still around, but the Sith do by the end of the story kind of have to make it look like they're gone, but still thriving somewhere and not just thriving, but kind of infiltrating, you know, the light side, infiltrating the Republic, infiltrating the Jedi Order. So yeah, this is going to be kind of like their first alert. But all of this High Republic stuff, like I said at the start, and I think I wrote this piece for Comic Book when it launches, it was basically saying, it was a threat piece, I'll admit that, but it was just saying, like, I'll read this stuff, but there better be an endpoint where you realize this story is one of, like, tragic folly. It's people who thought they had it on Smash, but they really weren't paying attention, and things fell apart eventually because of it. And the cracks have, you have to see where the cracks start and kind of build up. And so even this one should anger us to a point where like, man, you guys should have figured this out. Like you saw like this was happening, but you still got you still got caught off guard and they snuck up on you within 100 years. So yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. And I can't wait to see after the spirited debate, people are sending me stuff. Yeah. Well, there's all kinds of references that we're going to get, like, Vernestra Verne Rowe. Yeah. We're going to get characters from the books. That's the thing that is going to happen. See, there's two things that are going to happen here. We're going to have crossover characters like Yoda and Yaddle who make it into the Skywalker saga. I still think Darth Plagueis and Palpatine, there's a whole thing about that that's going to be there. Because I still got to explain this Palpatine cloning thing and extending your life stuff. And that's got to start somewhere.
Do they?
Like, yes, they
or could you they know just how move much... past, or could they just move past episode 9 and never talk about it again?
Are you kidding me? Star Wars really? Star Wars, except for Andor, Star Wars is pretty much a machine of explaining episode 9 right now. Like, we are still working to explain away that one exclamation point cost us billions of dollars. Palpatine has returned. But you're also going to get characters from the books who are now going to, because some of them come from races that live long, so they're going to be aged up. Because they purposefully launched this as a kids line, a young adult line, and an adult line of High Republic stories with characters to match, right? So some of them begin very young in this. And I can't wait to see who they bring in and why, because that's going to be also pretty interesting. But I think the goal here, I think at least we're going to have a spike in, you know, people looking at the High Republic, going back and being like, okay, what is this about? And getting into it where they can. And they're already sending me assignments. They're like, well, we only know one person who's read these books around here on comic books. So it looks like I got a lot of work to do. Thanks. But any final thoughts? We're getting kind of circular. This comes out in June. You know, we'll be there to kind of break it all down per episode. And, you know, probably hopefully talk to some people from Lucasfilm and the High Republic, because that line is still ongoing. And we have plenty of interviews from when it first launched, including some tidbits and teases about where this was always going to be headed. So check that all out. Matt, Connor, any parting thoughts?
Let this be more like Andor and less like Obi-Wan.
Oh, Matt. Were there enough helmets in this for you?
It's fine. He just didn't say mid, so it's all good.
Your opinion is sus, bro. Your opinion is so sus. And I feel it lacks Riz. I feel your opinion lacks Riz.
Stop it.
All right. We're going to get out on here.
I find your lack of Riz disturbing.
Sound like
I find your lack of Riz.
Trying too hard Wikipedia.
Stop. That's Urban Dictionary for dads. That's what I go to now. And you are just, man. You are just showing
I'll stick to my 90s slang. Thank you very much.
No, boy. We're going to get out of here. We are Comic Book Nation. This has been our reaction to Star Wars, the Acolyte trailer. We will be watching when it comes out June 4th on Disney+. Until then, stay tuned to Comic Book Nation. We are an entire line of shows. We have our main show where we talk all things geek culture every Friday. It's a live show, and our commenters, we love you guys. So join in that. Anime Initiative has been drawing in a lot of you. We have a new anime segment that will be up on these channels later today. So tune back into the comic book YouTube and to our Twitch stream and the comic book Twitter page, because Anime Initiative will be talking about what's going on in the world of anime. Tomorrow, Matt will be pulling the new comics of the week, which he's talking a lot of trash, but I think he still has to tell us what comics they are, so he better get on his J-O. But we'll be talking about the biggest publishers and indie comics on the pull list, and Quick Save, our gaming segment, is every Thursday to hit the biggest things in gaming. We also are doing TV recaps right now for Halo and the season finale of Halo, and we have more interview gold for that, and Invincible Season 2, Part 2, which is here. So check that all out on the Comic Book Nation feeds. If you want to talk Marvel, go over to the Phase Zero feed. And if you're a Pokemon fan, a wild Pokemon has appeared, is also on its own feed. Otherwise, we're going to see you guys back on the pull list and our regular show on Friday. Connor, Matt, thank you guys for hopping on to react to the Acolyte trailer and read all about all the larger breakdowns of the Acolyte on comicbook.com/Star Wars. Thank you, guys. We are Comic Book Nation, and we're going to get out of here. Peace.
Later.